26. "Behold," I said, as I spread my arms wide. We were standing in front of the three-way valvite build outside of the gardens. Everyone but Melanie, since she had already returned to the halls of research for the day. "Prepare to be amazed."
"I'm ready to be amazed," Thera said with a laugh as she glanced toward the sky. "Though you better hurry. Night will be upon us soon."
"Well, then I better get to it." I shot a mental command to the hobgoblins by the river and told them to connect it up. Then I smiled at the crowd. "Wait for it."
"What are we supposed to see?"
Kanil inquired as he peered at my strange contraption. Currently, I had both the sluice gate for the cistern and the one for the gardens closed. I also had all of the mini gates I'd installed at each plot closed. So while water would flow to them once I opened the garden gate, it wouldn't go into the plots unnecessarily. When I'd informed Nikotan of what would happen earlier, he'd recommended this course of action so he could adjust them accordingly. "Water," I said, as the sound of rushing water filled the air. "You'll see water."
"Water? How? Did you send out your minions for water?"
Thera inquired, an instant before water burst from the Natso pipe coming from the river and began to fill my valve.
"Oh, wow! How did you do that?"
Thera gaped at me.
"This is truly amazing."
"Aw, thanks. But it was just a little bit of skill and ingenuity," I said with a shrug. "Still, you haven't seen anything yet."
"I haven't?"
Thera boggled at me.
"Because this is pretty great already. We won't have to trek all the way to the river now. We can just go here to fill our buckets."
She pointed at the valve, which was nearly to the top. "You don't have to do that either." Then I pulled the sluice gate for the gardens and watched triumphantly as water began to flow out of the valve and into the irrigation trenches my aunts had dug. Unlike the valve, which I had made of fused stone, these trenches were just that. Trenches filled with Natso pipe. Originally, I'd been inclined to leave them open, but I worried about mud and whatnot, so I decided to pipe them. "You're on, Nikotan," I called, and as I waved to him, he pulled the first of the mini gates on the far side of the gardens. Water burst forth from the pipe in a torrent, quickly filling the plot. Then he shut the gate, and the water ceased.
"I thought it couldn't get any better."
Thera shook her head in amazement as Nikotan repeated the procedure on a different mini-gate and more water flowed out.
"But now, we can drastically increase our farming and agriculture."
"I thought it might please you," I said with a smirk as I moved back to the valve and shut off the flow to the garden. Then I opened the one leading to my cistern. "I have another thing to show you." I offered Thera my hand.
"I would love to see it,"
she said as she took my hand. And we, along with Kanil, Denno, and a few other tribe members, made our way to the cistern. To be fair, it didn't look like much, just a big swimming pool, really, with a dome of rock over the top, but at the same time, it was also currently being filled with river water. Originally, I hadn't been going to put a roof over it, but then I'd worried about contamination, evaporation, and all sorts of other things, and decided it needed to be covered, which meant I'd spent a lot more time on it than I thought I would, which was why it was nearly dusk now.
"How did you make this?"
Kanil asked as he moved closer to my cistern and peered down the stairs that led down into its depths. Honestly, it's just a hole in the ground that I'm filling with water. I smirked. But it's a lot closer to your village and therefore a lot less dangerous. I clapped my hands. And the best part is shorter trips.
While that is truly helpful, Kanil hedged, this will be even better during the dry season when the water doesn't run and the river is gone. We will be able to collect water here for use during that time.
He grinned broadly.
You have no idea what this means to us to be able to store water.
I didn't know your river dried up, I said as I stared at the cistern. Is this enough? Do we need to make it bigger or make another one?
That I am unsure of. The dry season is only a few cycles, so it does not need to last long.
Kanil mused.
However, this is a simple matter to figure out.
He turned his gaze from the cistern to me.
If Thera instructs the tribe to stop collecting river water for a few days, we can see how much the water level drops. Then we can extrapolate from that data how much water we will need.
He smiled.
We can build more if we need them.
That is an excellent idea, Kanil, Thera said as she hugged her brother. I will do as you say.
She nodded.
I am not sure how to repay you, Garrett.
She looked at the cistern and the piping.
You have done truly great things. Our tribe is in debt to you.
It seemed like she was about to say more when my stomach groaned audibly and everyone turned to look at me. Sorry, I mumbled as I rubbed the back of my neck nervously. It's been a long day and I've used kind of a lot of energy.
Oh no!
Queenie cried as she rushed over to me.
Master is starving.
She spun to face Thera.
You must appease his hunger now.
Then she fixed the bird lady with a bug-eyed glare that would have sent me scurrying to comply.
This does indeed sound serious, Thera acknowledged as she shot me a wry grin which made me smile back. We must get our great builder fed.
She glanced at Denno.
Can you tell them to begin the feast and prepare a plate for our savior?
She was laying it on thick, but to be honest, I kind of liked it.
It would be my pleasure,
Denno said with a laugh, before he clapped Kanil on the back.
Let's go.
Actually, Kanil said as he slipped out of the bigger man's grasp,
I'd like to stay here and document these designs for a bit.
He gestured at the cistern and piping.
I know you build some of it with your powerful earth magic, but the rest seems like something we might be able to manage on our own.
He glanced at Nikotan, who seemed to be listening to the conversation with extra interest.
Besides, I need to document the planting with Nikotan. He can't be expected to do it all on his own while we feast.
No, you should both come along, I said, as I glanced at the two of them. There's no hurry. I'll be happy to share the details of how to do it with you. My stomach grumbled unhappily, and everyone laughed. Well, everyone except Queenie, because she pulled out a whip I'd never seen before and cracked it through the air while looking at Denno.
Move it! Master is hungry!
She cracked the whip again, and this time, Denno took off at a very serious sprint back toward camp. Then Queenie ran after him, cracking the whip every so often.
Do not worry, Garrett. Soon, you will have more Samlin than you can shake a stick at!
Denno cried over his shoulder right before Queenie snapped the whip at him.
Kanil,
Thera said
after Denno disappeared from view. I know you mean well, but surely your work can wait until tomorrow. It will be dark soon, and I do not relish the idea of you out here alone with Nikotan. Kanil got a weird look at that, and Thera flushed. You know that is not what I mean at all. She looked at the ground, nodded once, and then turned her gaze on her brother. He cannot protect you if something happens. She raised her hands like she was making a peace offering. You both should come and leave work until morning. Perhaps. Kanil hedged as he glanced at Nikotan, who just shrugged.
Sounds good to me, bruh,
Nikotan said, and before anyone could say anything, he threw his arm around Kanil's shoulder and began walking him toward the village. As I watched them, I realized that the two of them seemed quite close.
So I didn't know about that, I said when I realized that Thera and I were all alone outside the gardens.
Is it a problem for you? Thera asked, and I could tell she was equal parts concerned and annoyed.
Not at all, I shrugged. But had I known, I'd have had Kanil show me the gardens. Maybe I'd have gotten more work out of Nikotan. That was like pulling teeth.
I think you would have gotten significantly less work done had you brought him, Thera replied, as she took my hand in hers and began to escort me back to camp. As we went, she leaned her head against my shoulder. It was actually pretty nice. You have done a lot of work that we can never repay, all without asking. She looked at me then. But I would like to try. She swallowed. The great rock that you stabbed with your sword seems like it should belong to you.
You want to give it to me? I asked as I raised an eyebrow at her. But it's special.
As are you, Garrett. She kissed me then. Something long, slow, and sensual. And that also had promises of things to come. As are you.
I think you're pretty special too, Thera, I replied as our lips met, and her hands began to roam across my chest.
I am glad you think me special, she said when our kiss broke. And as we stood there, my stomach rumbled mightily. But I think it is high time we get you fed. Besides, you've never had Samlin, and it is a treat.
Honestly, part of me wanted to argue, because the promise of eating something other than Samlin right about now was pretty appealing. But even so, I let her pull me into the camp. And not just because the smell was amazing. It was salty, fatty, and herby, all at the same time, and reminded me of when my mother would put roasts in the crock pot. The house smelled just like it did when I came home from school, and it was all I could do to keep my mouth from watering. Hopefully, it tasted as good as it smelled. Thankfully, I didn't need to wait long to find out, because Queenie and Denno were in front of me in an instant, the latter holding an array of plates, all covered in various bits of red and white striped meat. There was even a bowl of what looked like soup, and an interesting roll that seemed to be part Trudon and part Samlon, assuming, of course, the pink and white meat was Samlon.
I didn't know what you'd want, so I just brought some of everything.
Denno held out the plates before gesturing to Queenie.
And then she got more of everything to ensure you had your fill. He laughed as I took the plate from him.
Thank you both very much, I replied, and gave each of them a nod. I appreciate it. I smiled at them.
Now, go and be merry.
That I can do,
Denno said, before elbowing Queenie in the side.
Come on, I have something special I want to show you. I like to call it sweet and sour samlon, and it's one of my specialties.
Queenie looked to me for permission, and when I nodded, she bounced happily and followed Denno off toward a stand in the far corner of the village.
I shall get my own plate and then meet you over there.
Thera pointed to a spot beside where Kanil and Nikotan were seated, hunched together, and eating off the same platter.
Sounds good,
I said, and made my way over to them. They barely acknowledged me as I sat down, but that was fine because it was all I could do to keep from tearing into my food. In addition to the roll, the stew, and various cuts of samlon, there was a huge square of the jungle wasabi. And because I always loved sashimi as a kid, I took a dollop and put it on a piece of what looked like seared samlon. Then I took a bite, and oh my God, was that good! It tasted a lot more like yellow-tailed tuna than salmon, for one, which was what I'd expected, but it was also fattier in a way that actually reminded me of beef. With the extra kick from the jungle wasabi, well, I'd have been happy just there. Only, I didn't have to be happy just there. Only, I didn't have to be happy just there. Because I picked up my bowl of soup and took a sip. It was salty and fatty, with chunks of samlon in it that reminded me of the tofu and miso soup. And before I realized what I was doing, I downed the bowl.
I see you like samlon stew,
Thera said as she sat down next to me.
It is one of my favorites.
She winked at me.
They say it is quite the aphrodisiac.
Oh? I asked. And instead of responding, she merely handed me another bowl.
Drink up, Garrett.
She licked her lips.
You're going to need your strength for what I have planned for you tonight.